Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show today. I trust you are well and that you are working towards financial freedom where you make money while you sleep. Now, it's time to get into Thought of the Week. So Thought of the Week is time is your freedom. Master time, master your life. Now, life is all about buying back time. The way you get back your time is by being able to create financial freedom through money. So once you have enough money, you buy back your time. And time is the true commodity that you're after, not the money. The money just allows you to get back that time. And one thing that I have learned over my years of investing and building my career is that time is everything, because the more time I have, the more time I get to think, the more money I get to make, because I have more time to sit there and think about it. So I always encourage everyone to think about where their time is spent, where their energy is spent, because used time is energy. So where is your energy actually going? Is it going into activities that are going to help you create more time for yourself? Or are they going into activities where it's going to cost you your time? A lot of people are just wasting time. They don't actually put a value on their own time. Always value your time and don't let other people waste it, right? The more you value your time, the more freedom you will have, the more fulfilled you will be, because you feel like you have the time to be able to sit in your own thoughts, create the life that you want, and go out there and get your own dream life. So master time, master life. That is the true goal of financial freedom. Now, don't forget, if you haven't already done so, to pop over to our Instagram page and follow along. I'm always active over there. I'm sharing a lot of property deals and education. So if you do want to peek behind the scenes of the deals that I am doing, make sure you check us out at Your Property, Your Wealth, or my personal Instagram, which is DanielWalsh_YPYW, or even YPYW Mastery on Instagram as well. Now, if this is your first time here at the YPYW podcast, welcome. Great to have you here. This show is all about property and how to use it to create financial freedom so that you too can exit the rat race. Now, I put these podcasts out in a few different formats. I do interviews, I share insider tips, and I work through case studies that will show you how to find the success you are seeking through property investing. If you're back for more, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in and thank you for being a loyal listener. And please remember to hit the subscribe button. All right, let's get into today's show. Well, welcome guys to the YPYW podcast. It's great to have you all here. So we have three guests with us, which are YPYW clients and have been for quite a few years now. We're going to be discussing their property journey, how they started property investing and how they met each other and go through all of that. So guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I guess we'll start with how old you all are and also what do you all do for work?
All right, we'll start off. I'm 29, about to turn 30 early next year. Started off in air conditioning as a technician, so on a low salary, wages at that point, and then slowly worked my way up into a management role to a point now where I've just acquired the business. That's nice. Basically where I'm at now.
I'm a Sparky, started as an apprentice. I was in Victoria and then pretty much moved up through management, and then I decided to actually go back on the tools because it was better money, and now currently out west in the mines. So
nice and hot out there, eh?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, I'm Riley. I'm just turned 26 this year. Same thing. I started in Victoria as a Sparky. Started my apprenticeship down there, then moved up to Queensland, finished my apprenticeship, and then sort of worked locally. And then just at the start of this year, also started doing fly in, fly out work on wind farms and stuff in Australia as well.
Awesome. And you guys obviously all acquired quite a few properties over the years. Let's talk about, when did you start investing with us?
Well, I think our first phone call was 2017, 2018. I found you online. You weren't as big as you are now. It was back when he answered every single time. No, it was really good. Not that's really changed for me, but
yeah.
I guess 2017, I think it was, I reached out. Oh, originally I was just looking how I could get ahead. Like, I just didn't want to be your average person. I wanted to get out. I wanted to do something with my life and eventually be able to relax when I'm a bit older.
Yep.
So I started researching and I came across Daniel's page. And that's sort of when this conversation started. I gave him a call 2017. We spoke for a while. I told him I had about 60K in savings. And I think at that point he said, right, I think you need to save up another 20, 30, 40 grand. I come back a year later and we started working through buying the first house. And that's sort of where the journey began.
I remember that. Yeah. And Joel, where did you start?
I originally started on my own and I sort of had the same mindset around trying to get in front. And I suppose property was the vehicle that I was going to use. Well, that's what I decided anyway.
Yep.
And I did it on my own the first time. And obviously the process was very in-depth for a 21-year-old. I didn't have much knowledge or anything like that. So, yeah, I bought in Victoria in Ballarat. And then pretty much from there, finished my apprenticeship and moved to Brisbane where Josh and I moved in together, as we're already good mates from back home.
Yep.
And that's where I got put onto the YP by W crew through Josh and the already investments that he's had done with you guys. So,
and Riley?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd always sort of had an interest in the real estate. My dad was in, he was a real estate agent for a decent chunk of time. So I'd always had like an interest in that background and I always wanted to invest. Wasn't sure sort of where I was going to invest into. And then once meeting Morgs and I had a bit more of a understanding with like the process he went through, and it just seemed like a pretty good idea to go through a buyer's agent. He done the research for me yourself and found the best property and purchased a house in Victoria Point, which has done really well, which was 2021. So nice. A couple of years ago, yeah.
Nice. So you guys, I guess, all live together at one stage. So I want to jump into that. You know, I guess living together and then all investing together, was it something that you guys talked about together to be able to start investing, or how did it all come about? I guess, Josh, you were the first person to invest. So how did it all come about?
Yeah, I was. I guess it was a topic of conversation. I think back in 2020 was the start of COVID. I was living with Riley for about 6 or 12 months. And yeah, it was definitely a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
And really got him thinking at that point, as well as he's already had that interest in real estate because of his old man. And then I think it was early 21-ish or maybe late 2020 after I finished with Riley, I sort of moved in with Joel. That's sort of where it all started. He'd already invested before, but it originally was an owner-occupier, wasn't it?
Mm.
And then that turned into an investment in Ballarat. And I still remember he had the mindset of trying to pay that thing down as quick as he could and not trying to acquire anything else. So I got in his ear and, yeah.
The rest is history.
Yeah, we can go into that story if you want. Yeah.
So I guess with it, so you bought your first house, obviously you bought that in Geelong. What did you pay for the first property?
$393,000. Yep.
I guess were there any fears with you, Josh, I guess for the first property, anything holding you back, especially being interstate as well? Like it wasn't, you know, you were in Brisbane. The first property was Victoria.
I think it's just, I guess, doing something new is always a fear. But then at the time, that, and it still is, a large chunk of money that you're throwing into an asset that realistically I didn't really have too much. I'd only looked into real estate for the, like 12 months or so. So I was relying on you heavily to sort of put any fear that I had to put it to bed, which did really well.
Awesome, awesome. So the time you bought your first property, who were you living with at that stage?
I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time.
Okay, you're so, at your ex-girlfriend. So it came in a little bit later on where you guys started living together. That would have been more around your second property, was it? Or?
Yeah, it was. It would have been, when I was with Riley, it would have been between the first and the second.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Or around the second.
Around the first and the second.
Yeah.
And I guess you guys, over the time, did you guys all have conversations around property and why you should be jumping into property? Like, how did that come about? Where, I mean, I know there's four of you guys. There's three of you obviously sitting here today, but there is four of you guys that have invested all together over time and lived together at one stage at various stages. How did it all start with, I guess, Josh, you probably have parted some knowledge over to these other guys to say, hey, I think you should just do it differently.
Yeah, I think so. I was actively talking about it with my mates because I seen a great opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And I sort of wanted them to jump on it as well. It's always good if your mates can sort of follow your same passion and also do well in life as well.
Yeah. And did you have anything to add there, Joel, did you say?
Oh, I think it's a lot about, like in my household, like speaking about money wasn't a thing. as much.
Yeah.
And I think that it should be.
Yeah.
I think it's a good, it's like we go to work for 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle. We need it to live. So
yeah.
Coming from a place where we didn't talk about money to then living in a house where it was an open conversation, it sort of promoted for myself, it promoted me to talk more about the opportunities that you can potentially have. And that's just through networking.
Yep.
And whether it's your mates or your best friends or whatever, it all comes under that banner of networking.
Yeah. As they say, you know, the average of your five best friends, I guess, or the five friends that you hang around, the people that you hang around ends up becoming, you know, you to some degree. You know, I know that I always talk about, you know, your thermostat. If you hang around somebody else that's at an 80 degree thermostat, you're hanging around, you know, you're at 50 degrees, you eventually start to operate at the same temperature as them or somewhere close. Because if not, then, you know, you're not hanging around them long enough, right? But if you hang around them long enough, it's like you hanging around with fit people, you will eventually become the next fit person if you hang around with them long enough. And I think that's, I guess, key with you guys as well, seeing that where you guys have come from, like you didn't have, I guess, obviously the backing of family and friends to say, hey, you should be trying to build multi-million-dollar empires. But instead, you guys all got together and sort of had conversations around it. You obviously had some fears around it as well. I know that we're just talking backstage a little bit, and Joshy was talking about at the time that Joel was a little bit scared purchasing one of his properties and didn't know whether he should do it and stuff like that. Did that help you guys being all together, talking about it, to then rationalize the decisions that you were making?
Yeah, I reckon we've had like a bit of reassurance. Like Josh had such good results with his first property, and we had trust in your company and yourself. And yeah, it just made a lot more sense. And you see the numbers and you're like, well, that, the numbers don't lie. And it was a smooth process through the whole thing, purchasing with you. And yeah, it takes a lot of fear and the stress out of it. Like buying a property can be very daunting, I reckon, for someone. Yeah, interstate, and it's not something they do on a regular basis. There's a lot they might understand, but once you know the whole process and you hang around mates who have done it before, it just makes it a lot more smoother and easier.
Yeah, and I guess as well, like you guys were in your early 20s as well. It's not like you had a lot of knowledge in that at that time. You were just sort of starting out. You were just learning. I guess at some point, Josh, you took a leap of faith to be able to invest with us as well. Like 2017, you're talking to me, and I only just started my company in 2016. So it was one of the first, you know, where you were sort of coming in. And obviously then over the years, we've been, you know, working with everyone else as well and you guys to be able to build your portfolios. So it's good to see that you guys were able to help each other out, because I feel like, I guess the question would be, do you think you would have got the same result each if you weren't friends or didn't have each other to speak to?
And I still remember the days and how much stress Joel was going through with that first purchase with you.
Yeah.
And I could see the house and I knew that you were going to pick it up if he didn't.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting there, mate, you got to buy this thing. This is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
And then we look at the numbers now and it's probably the best property that either of us have, and considering how well it's done. It's got water views just sitting up on the top.
You can subdivide it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a fair.
So I remember Joel was so close to saying no. It was so close, and he was so stressed.
I look back now, I wish he did. I was wrestling with that property. I remember saying to my wife, we need to buy this property. This was before we've shown it to Joel. I was looking for a property in that specific location. And I'm like, you know, my policy is always to, you know, if I have a property and I have a client that's for it, they'll get first choice to it, right? So I was like, no, I have to, you know, stick to my policy. I'll give Joel a call. This is the one we've been looking for. Mm. So I gave him a call. And
it was one of those things. I think Joel, you can speak for this, but I think I supported him through it.
Oh,
and
nice.
I sort of helped with that decision, even though, yeah, Daniel in your ear telling you how good it was, I guess I was sort of backing you up because it was your first investment purchase at that point.
Yeah, and that's right. It's as simple as a little bit of reassurance. Obviously, being good mates, you can go to your mates with concerns or whatever, and knowing that he's done the process already, I was under the understanding that he was going to give me good advice. And yeah, in the end, like to get the deal done, I borrowed money from my family. It wasn't a huge amount, but that was the reason for not. I was unsure.
Yeah, so you were on the edge of being able to even afford that property at that time. Yeah. And you had to stretch yourself to be able to obviously get that $30,000 extra to be able to get into that property, which turned out to be a very wise decision to do in the end.
100%. So, yeah. Probably one of the better decisions I've ever made.
Yeah.
But it was a very calculated decision too. You weren't just throwing money at the pokes sort of thing.
Like, no. Yeah, exactly. I think that's one thing that I would want to say, because I think a lot of people, you know, especially roommates and stuff like that and young guys in their 20s, most people associate them as don't have their life together. They're rooming because they're partying. They're out blowing money. They're gambling. They're partying every weekend and drinking and all of that. You guys were different, obviously. What made you guys different to being the norm of just doing that type of, you know, party and not thinking about their future, right? Because you guys thought about your future in stages, but you all thought about your future quite early on, which is not normal for, you know, a couple, three blokes there, you know, that are living together.
Yeah. I know. I think maybe like you just grow up around certain people or groups and stuff and you see like what they're doing and you like sort of get stuck in the rat race, working 40 hours, working for the man, and you don't progress. You know, you sort of get stuck in a bit of a rut and then you complain and people go, oh, why is it so hard to live with affordability going up and things like that? And if you do something a bit different compared to what everyone else is doing, then that's how you sort of get in front.
Yep.
And yeah, you get in early, help set yourself up tenfold and retire.
Yeah, I think that's key too. Like, sacrifices to be made. Like, especially, you know, the whole, everyone's like, YOLO, just go overseas, go to Europe, blow your money, do all that, and do that in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And you guys obviously didn't do that early on.
Yeah, you see a lot of it, like people 21, 22 sort of thing, and they're overseas for 6 months, and you're just sort of like, obviously, as great as it would be, there's probably the better time to do it. And I think all of us have sort of put that on hold for our early 20s to be able to enjoy it very shortly and, yeah, help set ourselves up and getting into the market.
Awesome.
I don't think you want to take that out of context either, because we certainly didn't sit at home every weekend.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Yeah. You were still having fun, which is exactly what I say to people. Like, people said, do you regret sacrificing so much? And I'm like, I don't feel like I did sacrifice. I just felt like I was smart when I did it.
You're on the right balance.
Yeah. That's right. You still go out and have two drinks, three drinks. You're just not going out and have 10 drinks in a night, party, go to Europe, spend $50,000. Like, you're just not overindulging, which I think most people are doing, especially at a young age. They're overindulging. You know? And do you think, I don't know, to me, I think that people overindulge is because they feel like it's impossible to get into property these days, that it's like, don't even try. Do you have friends or anything that have that same mentality, just think, it's impossible to do? I might as well just... blow the money, have a good time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
I think, like, you watch Instagram and stuff, I think it's all just a fake dream.
100%.
Like, yeah. People are out partying.
Social media doesn't help.
But yeah. I think, like, it's a downward spiral. You watch what people are doing, they're partying, and you think they're living the dream, whereas in actual fact, it's totally the opposite.
They're living the dream for the night, and then the next morning they get up and they're stressed and they're thinking, I've got no money, and I wished I could have a house, would have paid rent, and I don't have any investments. So yeah, I think the same thing, everyone's trying to make themselves look glamorous. We'll go down to now, how many properties do you guys all have? I'm going to share some results with you, because I actually haven't shared the results with you properly with how all your properties are done. How many properties have you guys got?
Yeah, so I've got four, and I run a bit of a spreadsheet, but I think I'm going to be shocked here because it's a little bit out of date.
Yeah, I've got three and four's on the way.
Yeah, I've just purchased my second last week actually. So
yes, we're going through some due diligence now on that one, which hopefully will be good, some good results in the next 12 months as well. So I'll go through quickly some results through what we've been able to do. So we've done some bank valuations on your property. So Josh, obviously you have the four properties. You actually started with us 4 years ago. Over those 4 years, you purchased a property in 2019 for $387,000, which was your Melbourne property.
I was a little bit off. There you go.
Yes, a little bit off. We got a price reduction, I think. The bank val came back in on that property at $650,000. So that property is up 67% in the 4 years, which is averaged nearly 17% capital growth per year. We purchased the second property in Brisbane. That was $410,000. And the bank valuation on that came in at $711,000. That's gone up 73.41% in 3 years. So it's been a pretty strong performer, and it's averaged 24.5% capital growth per year, which is good to see. Your next one, you've purchased in Brisbane for $550,000. Bank valuation on that was $754,000. You had 37% increase within 2 years, and that was 18.5% per year on average so far. And then recently, you only just purchased one, right? So, yeah, so that was your Perth property, your first Perth property. And you got a selection. You got Queensland now. You've got Victoria and Perth. So your last property you purchased was $515,000. You purchased that only 5 months ago. It was $618,000 bank val, and that's grown 20% in 6 months.
Pretty good. Pretty happy with that.
Yeah, so your total, your portfolio is now worth $2.733 million. And you've made $871,000 in 4 years.
It's pretty good.
What does that give you in terms of the feeling when you know that you've now got four houses, $870,000?
I think it just gets easier as you acquire more. You've got more leverage. You've got more power with the banks. I guess it's the power of compounding, right?
Yes. Yeah. You've done it so early.
Yeah. And it, like I'm saying, it just keeps getting easier and easier.
Do you feel like as well, like even not to do with property, but like, the sense of day-to-day life is a little bit less pressure.
100%.
You know, you don't feel like you're now like scrambling to make money, thinking, okay, I'm going to be in my 30s and I don't have anything. You actually think to yourself, now I can breathe a little bit. Now I can go on a little bit of a holiday. Now
that's
I can
exactly
spend that bit of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't feel as guilty about going on holidays, exactly. Which I know you went on a holiday not long ago.
And that's exactly what I've done.
Yes.
Yeah. I went to Europe last year. I was that guy that blew that 20 odd grand or whatever it is.
Yep. But you did it the right way around.
But yeah, I sacrificed for a long time and didn't go on those holidays and
yep.
Counted every penny to try and do what I've achieved.
So. And the you know, spending $20,000 is nothing when you see properties, you know, growing $870,000 and you're on track for pretty much by mid 2024 to be over $1 million. Like you're only 6 months away from being, you know, $1 million worth of equity, which is crazy to see before you're 30 or 29 years old.
It's so. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Good to see that by 30 you'll be a millionaire, and we've got some. That's it. Everyone become a millionaire before 30. Joel, obviously, we'll go through some of your results as well. So, Joel, you have two properties with us, but you've obviously got your other property as well. So you've got three all up, and you're about to purchase your fourth property. So the two with us, we've bank valued those. So you paid $455,000 in 2021. That has now bank valued in at $714,000. So you have increased 56.92% in 2.5 years on that property. And your average growth rate per year is 22.3%, which is great. And I think we need to remind ourselves as well, like average growth is 6-7% usually, right? So like when you're doing 20%+ in 2-3 years, it's allowed you to build your portfolios quite quickly, which is good to see. Your second property, which is the property that we're talking about that you guys were debating whether you buy it or not, that property was $550,000 that we purchased that for in 2021. It is now gone up 71.45% in 2.5 years. It's averaged 28.58% per year.
That was worth every bit of stress.
That was worth everything. $393,000 in that one property that's grown. And your total portfolio just on our side is 1.657. Obviously, you've got your other property in Ballarat as well. Plus, you're about to add another one. So you'll be up in the $2.5+ million within the next 6 months, which is really good to see. Just off those two properties alone, you've made $652,000 within 2.5 years. I guess, how does that make you feel?
Yeah. You pin it back to, like, I'm only a sparky. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm a basic tradie that's had a crack, and that's pretty much what it comes down to.
I think that's also really good to, I guess, highlight as well. Like a lot of people I see will say, hey, the reason I can't do it is because I'm just a tradie. The reason I can't do it is because I don't earn enough. They always have that excuse. You guys, this, you know, you're all tradies. You've been able to do it. You haven't done anything, you know, that's so out of the realm that no one else can do. Everyone could do what you did with a little bit of sacrifice and obviously learning. You guys educated yourselves to make sure that you had the mindset. Because, I mean, look at that one that we were just talking about, that last one that you purchased, right? You had Josh to also help you with your mindset on that, right? Because if you said no to it, that's $400,000 that walks out the door. And the reason the $400,000 walks out the door is because, not because you didn't have the ability to buy it, it's the mindset that would have stopped you buying it, right? So I think that's where you guys, the glue that stuck you guys together was having that mindset together to be able to join together, which is quite good to see. So yeah, you've had some pretty good results. We move on to Riley now. So Riley, you've had some pretty good results as well. So you purchased your first property with us in 2021. So it's been 2 years. Your property has, well, you purchased it for $510,000. It's now worth $800,000. It's gone up 56.9%. And your average is 28.43% per year. So you've made $290,000 out of that within the 2 years. And you've just purchased your next property as well. So how did you purchase your second property? Were you using any equity from the first one? Was it all cash for the, or like cash deposit?
Yeah, so it's probably about 80% equity. Yep. From my Brisbane purchase.
Yep.
And then I just topped up the rest of savings from myself to help, yeah, top awesome. It up. And
yeah, and I guess with that, because I remember when we purchased that property, you need to do a bit of work. I'm pretty sure Josh helped you out with some stuff as well.
Yeah, all the boys
sort of got together. So that was an older property that needed a bit of work. It was a bit more original inside, and you guys yep. have done, you know, a bit of a renovation to it, which was really, really good. The results reflect that you've done a really good job. I remember when we bought that, I'm like, you can't find anything, you know, it's land value essentially. So we're buying something that was closer to land value, but you had to put a bit of sweat equity into that. Is that something that you were nervous about at all?
No, I sort of like, I mean, I always wanted to, I mean, being in construction my whole life since leaving school, I always wanted to buy a house and do a renovation at some stage. I want to get a house. Yeah. And luckily I've had such great mates who helped me along the way with keeping the cost down a little bit on all the sides of the construction, the renovation, things like that. So, but yeah, with my next property in Perth, it's pretty much moved straight into it. I haven't had to do a single thing. So it's taken being interstate as well. Like it's been easier, quick, smooth transaction. I have to worry about getting trades in to fix this, fix that. It's just been a nice
and easy one. And your first property set you up for
That
second property.
Yeah.
And one thing that's key to see, I guess, with all of you guys as well is, you guys have had some massive results, but you don't have portfolios like most people think you have to have to get that type of result. So like people think, oh, I've got to have 10, 15, 20 properties to be able to get that type of growth. And you've done it with a few properties each. Did you believe that you could get that type of result with 1 to 4 properties each?
To be honest, yeah, my results have, I think we can all speak for this, like they've been a lot larger than we anticipated. But just from that, like it's given us the freedom to help progress our portfolio a lot quicker and expand it. And yeah, like you say, take a bit of pressure off knowing you're getting older. You're like, oh, I should take more risk to get into this, get into that. But you're like, you can still take your risk, but you've got a bit of a safety net behind you knowing that you've got this in the background.
Yeah. So I'm guessing all three of you, your mindset has changed over the time from when you started to where you guys are now. Do you think that your mindset, the education that you have for building wealth has changed from where you started to now?
100%. I think as you go through, like there's obstacles all the way. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It hasn't been easy. You do wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, where am I going to find 30 grand from?
Yeah.
Like, it's not all rosy, but I think it's definitely over the time you overcome the obstacles, which allows you to then grow. And obviously following you for a long time with all the education and stuff, like every bit of information, you try and take it on and learn and grow as you're building.
Yeah, and I guess as long as you follow your instruction as far as safety nets and all the rest go, people always go on, what happens if this breaks? What happens if that breaks? What happens if this happens? And it's like, well, things are in place and everything doesn't just fail at once. So you're not up for hundreds of thousands of dollars in repairs and all that sort of thing. So all those scare stories that people put out there, I just think they're silly. And I've experienced that myself. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Things definitely do break. You've got to spend money. There's no two buts about that. But yeah.
It's a lot less money than you've made, I guess.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the big things people don't realize is like it's a lot less money that you put into the property than what you get out of the property. And some people have that scarcity mindset of, oh, I don't want to fix this or I don't want to do that. It's going to cost me money. They never think about the opportunity. They just think about the cost the whole way through.
Yeah, that was me at the very start, I guess. I was a little bit like Riley, and I think his mindset's, I think it's changing a little bit in the way of we all helped out with his renovation. He didn't want someone else to come in and do it. But at the moment where I'm in my life, there'd be no way in hell that I'd be getting on that roof and re-roofing it myself.
Yeah.
I just one, and it's not because I'm lazy. It's because my time's better off spent elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because I can make more money doing that than.
And I think that's a realization as you build more wealth and you have more wealth
behind you. Because I had the same mindset.
Yeah, you're no longer having to get into the grind to do that sort of stuff. But I think one of the big things is I see this with a lot of tradies. This is a big thing with tradies, right? They want to buy in their backyard. They want to buy something that they can feel and touch because they're the tradie that can fix it, right? And they don't want to spend any money on someone else doing it. But what they don't realize is that sometimes them doing that costs them so much more money than just buying the right area and spending $4,000 or $5,000 to get someone to paint the house or whatever it is. But it also allows you to go do your thing, which means you're still earning money. And it also means you don't get burnt out, right? Because the problem is, like, if you're just doing renovation after renovation and you're doing it all yourself, what happens is you get two or three into it and you think, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm too tired. This is not what I want to do. And you stop investing. So if you might lose a little bit more money getting somebody else to do it, but you're going to have more longevity as an investor. And I think that's one of the big things, because the longevity as an investor is like, if you spent $100,000 to make $1 million, would you take the trade? Whereas a lot of people would be like, you know what? I don't even want to take that trade. I want to keep the $100,000. And then what they do is they keep the $100,000, do the work themselves, but they never make $1 million because they never keep going, right? Because they get too tired.
Are you currently stuck on the grind, working 5 to 6 days a week and thinking to yourself, how do I build wealth so I can have a better life for me and my family? Well, this was me 10 plus years ago. Now, thankfully, I had great mentors when I was younger to teach me the secret to the wealthy and how to get out of the rat race. And now I get to live my life by design and I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. Now, if you're wanting to learn the secrets of how to create your dream life and retire younger and richer, then you need to join our YPYW Mastery courses. YPYW Mastery helps educate you to invest the right way, change your beliefs, and crush your fears of investing to become masters of your own wealth. We have had hundreds of mastery students changing their lives every single day, so make sure you join the YPYW Mastery family. Now, also, don't forget to grab your copy of our book, The 6 Principles to Retire Younger and Richer. It is in all bookstores across the country, or you can get it online at Amazon as well.
So I probably should have asked this at the start, but I want to talk on where you guys actually all met, because you guys all, you know, lived at one stage in Brisbane together. However, how did you guys meet to begin with?
Well, the story sort of starts with me and Joel. We lived on the same street in a country, Victoria and Nil, and we had a fair bit to do with each other growing up. And then Joel moved an hour down the road to where Riley lives. And I didn't know Riley at this stage, but that's when Joel and I sort of separated to a point. Mm. We didn't really keep in contact. Joel moved to Brisbane in 2019, and our friend Jack Patterson, who's not here at the moment.
He'll appreciate the show.
Yeah, he will.
I was gonna say, Jack was the fourth guy.
And
he purchased the property and made a lot of money and sold. So we purchased the property in between – where was it? Was it in between Joel and Riley? Was it?
I think so. It was around about then. And then Joel moved to Brisbane. I moved to Brisbane in 2016. And then Joel moved up here, 2020?
Yeah,
20. And Jack sort of brought us together. And then we ended up all living together.
So Jack was the glue then?
Jack was the glue for us to bring us back together.
Yeah.
Obviously, Josh moved away, but Jack and I were great mates while we were still living in Horsham. And then, he actually went to the Gold Coast. I come up to Brisbane to be closer to my brothers, and then obviously reconvened, knowing people in a town, you sort of gravitate to them. It's what you know. And
so from a small town to Brisbane, I guess you all kind of start to get back together. We knew each other back then.
Yeah,
time to sort of do that, and then obviously,
and then I think
to keep bills down, you all started living together at one. Like, is that what it was mainly for?
Rent, bills.
Rent. Yeah. So. Your whole mentality, I guess, when you were building your portfolios was keep the costs low as possible, right? And I think that's also a key thing, because so many people I see go out there and just bloody rent an $800 to $1,000 a week apartment and look like they're living the life of Riley, right? And they look like they're living a good life. But they're blowing all of their money. So you guys were focusing on how much can I save and how much can I then redeploy of that savings back into investing. Mm.
And just taking a step back, I think I forgot about how I met Riley. I didn't know him back in Victoria.
Yeah.
I knew his older brother. And obviously we're from the same area. He'd taken a big leap because he wanted to go for a new opportunity and a new life on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And he knew I was in Brisbane. And I think he messaged me on Facebook and we ended up catching up one night and we've been mates sort of ever since.
To go on with that, yeah, like I actually had some training in Brisbane for my work and then I was here, hit up Josh and said, mate, do you mind if I crash on your couch for one night while I'm up here, save some money on accommodation?
That was the best night you've ever spent there because that started it off.
Yeah, saving $100, crashing the couch and then, yeah, now to become one of my best mates and, yeah, it's helped me get to a good position in life.
Yeah, awesome. And I guess what lessons have you all learned now along the journey?
I think it's just been good to like surround yourself with the right people, the right crowd, definitely help progress. Like you say earlier, you surround yourself by four successful people, you'll be the fifth. I think that's really important, yeah, surround yourself in the right circle.
I think for me, a lot of it comes down to your goals and what you desire to do. My goals were to not be filthy rich but just to be comfortable and not have to just keep slaving it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think if you've got a good thing, stick with it. Don't be frightened of taking that plunge. You're only potentially that some people listening to this are 22, 23 and going, there's no way I'll be able to do it. But as you can see, you can.
Yeah.
A little bit of sacrifice. Yeah, take the plunge and you can always rebuild if it goes sour. But, yeah, if you
do it younger because you got – You take less risk on when you're young.
That's right, yeah.
It's when you've got the most energy as well.
If you acquire good sources like yourself, Daniel, it helps.
Yeah.
I think it's one thing to note again there, like when I'm speaking for all of us, we weren't on big dollars when we first started. Yep. We might have been on 60, 70 grand a year. Obviously, we've worked up now because we've progressed in our career and that's a whole other story. But at the beginning, it was tough. You had to make sacrifices and we all did to get there.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing too because people start out thinking, oh, well, I can't do it. I'm on not enough money, but you can do it.
True. It takes longer, but
you can do it. I was going to say I'm very much the same. I was a tradie background. So, you know, trades people the first 4 or 5 years earn not great money. Then you start to work up and start to earn better money, but it can take you 8 to 12 years to start to earn really good money. And it's good to see that, you know, everyday people can do it. Buy properties, do really well, set themselves up, and now you guys have set yourself up.
But they've looked for opportunities within their industry. Like they both do fly and fly at work now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You've changed opportunities. Do you think though you're changing those opportunities to try and increase your income is, I guess, a direct reflection of the properties that you've purchased, the results that you've seen, so that it makes you push a little harder from your active income? Because you're like, because if I can just get one or two or more of these and they grow another 300 grand, that's quicker to exit that type of work eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I think putting yourself in a position where you can constantly, like whatever job it may be, always be able to keep your cash flow getting more and more and more. Obviously to service the loans as well, you have good serviceability. So I think it's really important to be in a career where you can always upscale and constantly make more money.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a good thing to state because like to have enthusiasm to do that, most people want to see a result. So like you've seen that little bit of result that makes you hungrier to think, it's time to like
keep going,
you know. And I did the same. Like for me, I remember back when I bought my first property, it grows in value. And I'm like, what am I doing working? You know, that's the feeling, right? It's like, what am I doing working? Just 10 of these and I'm done. So then you start to think, okay, now I just have to work a little bit harder, a little bit smarter, and I have to then progress in my career or whatever I'm doing so that I can continue to transition it into more wealth assets so that I can then get compounding wealth by 5 assets rather than 1, right? Because like, for example, like if you look at you guys, you've all done really, really well. Riley, like you look at your property, it's performed one of the best as well within the time frame, right? But then Josh has more properties, so it's harder for you to catch him at this stage because he has more properties. So now your goal is to have more properties, right? Because you go, if I have another 2 properties, which is why you're buying, then you're able to start to match your returns because each property can do a lot less in growth but still get a really good outcome. Instead of you relying on one property, you have three or four. Then all of a sudden, if they grow 50 grand each, 100 grand each, it's like, yeah, it's $400,000.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so yeah. And I guess, why do you think people don't jump into investing though?
I don't know, maybe from like, I suppose the fear. They think like, oh, it's too hard. It's a massive chunk of money to invest. But I think initially the first property is the hardest to get into. But then once you understand how equity works and leverage, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
As you progress. I think the first house is the hurdle that everyone sort of needs to overcome.
And you think it's a hurdle that they overcome? I mean, obviously saving money, but do you think it's a hurdle they overcome from lack of education as well, like not knowing what they don't know?
Yeah,
like definitely. You've seen, once you see the results, it's an indirect education backfill, right? Like once you saw your results, Joel, like you, I remember you were saying, you know, backstage that, and even on this podcast, you're talking about how you were more focused in talking to Josh about paying off the house rather than reinvesting to build wealth. Do you think that now that you've seen your results, you've almost had an education in real life that is backfilled that you didn't have before to change the perception?
Yeah, for sure. I think my mindset was I was living the baby boomer's dream, pay off your house as quick as you can and then live there for the rest of your life. And that's probably, to be honest, that's what I would have done.
Yep.
But yeah, obviously.
No worries, mate.
through education, it's been a void that I've been able to fill.
Yeah.
And when I say a void, it's the education. What you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
I assume because I was getting advice from my family, who's a next generation. How can they give you advice on something that they don't know either?
Yeah. And I think too, because property's so easy to see, right? It's not stocks, not shares. It's not like you go, you know what, I need an education like share market to really understand it. People just feel like I live in a house, I can understand it. So instead of really getting the right education and really learning, they think to themselves, ah, my parents did it, my friends have done it, my family's done it. Like you just need to talk to them to get the education. And then you start to almost have a false sense of hope knowing that thinking that you know how to build wealth. And I think that a lot of people don't take a step back to really look at the people that they're learning from to say, well, have they actually created real wealth, right? Have they just stumbled upon it, right? A lot of people stumble upon it and buy their family home. Family home's worth $200,000 30 years ago. It's now worth $5 million, right? They're rich and people will listen to that person because they've stumbled upon their wealth. But the person that's actively been able to create wealth, understand the concepts and everything like that, I think that changes.
They might be asset rich, but cash poor.
Right. Exactly. Yes, exactly. And they didn't do it because of the education. They just did it because that's the location they lived in. And I think whereas now, you know, if you can learn from, okay, if I learn from the right people that have done it, then I make less mistakes and do it a lot quicker, right? So like in your guys' case, your results well outperformed my results, right? For example, like when I started, if I look at my first 4 years and I look at your first 4 years, you guys have outperformed me. And the reason you've outperformed me is because you guys listened to me, but I was 15 years ahead at that point. But when I was doing it, no one was giving me the advice. So I had to go through the landmines and popped off the landmines as I was going. So no one was teaching me what to do and what not to do. So a lot of like in Joel's scenario, right, where you almost didn't buy that house, I was the person that didn't, right? I was the person that like in the first 2-3 years, I was like, I backed out of 2-3 houses that had gone up $1 million each, right? And why did I back out of them? Because I didn't have the right person to tell me, like you did, Josh, you know, you need to buy that house. This, you need to think differently. No one's born wealthy. No one's born with a skill set to become wealthy. People learn to become wealthy, but they're not born knowing how to be wealthy. And I think that's the key, right? Your results are a direct reflection of being able to skip, I guess, a decade's worth of knowledge and obviously attach yourself to me and obviously Josh as well, because Josh was that earlier, you know, investor with us. So that then helped you all be able to go, cool, yes, we're making the right decisions. And then the results came and now you're doing really, really well.
And I think like to tack on the back of that, I think education, like once you start learning it, and obviously we can see the results, we can get our own bank fails, like we don't need you to do that, but
we go out and we educate ourselves, but it becomes addictive too. Like, because you can see the more you educate yourself, the better it gets. Like, obviously the more wealth you can create through that vehicle.
I think when you do learn, the more you learn, the more you learn that you don't know.
Yeah, of course. Totally.
The more it opens your eyes. Like, I still do it now. Like, people see me educating people and I'm like, but I'm still educating myself. And the more I educate myself, the more I learn, the more I need to know. You know, it's something that never stops, I think.
I reckon the biggest part for me is the whole finance thing and understanding that in depth.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing I've learned from, I guess, the start to now.
Yeah.
Power of leverage and then the
finance structuring, like, it's, understanding it.
And when you start getting a portfolio, like, it starts getting like more complex, but it opens up a lot of different.
It's the whole game. Like, I always talk about the levels in the game, right?
It is. Yeah.
If I'd said to you, hey, here's $10 million worth of property right now, but you just started yesterday, you'd probably crumble. But if I said to you, let's start with one and build up to $10 million, you won't crumble because you're learning along the way, right? Like I said, the goal, the separator is the skills that you have, the education that you have, because everyone wants a $10 million, $20 million, $30 million.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to handle it. And I think that people don't know how to handle it, but they want it. And I say, we'll start from the ground up, but people don't want to start from the ground up these days, I think.
Yeah, everyone wants to get rich overnight.
Everyone wants to
quit. It's a process.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the next crypto hit? Where's the next this? The shiny ball syndrome where they're looking around all the time, like, where am I going to find that? Looking at your investing journey or even before that, is there anything you'd do differently if you had to do it all over again?
Get in earlier.
Yeah, you should have moved to Brisbane when Josh did.
Yeah, like, I should have moved those couple of years earlier. Yeah, I think educating myself, like, I know when I was younger, like, I was the first couple of years of my apprenticeship, I sort of was a bit lost, didn't know whether I wanted to stay around, like, as coming from a small town, like, a lot of people stayed locally. But yeah, I think moving away from that town to come to a bigger city and network, you meet a lot more people, you sort of, it puts you a bit more in front to learning and,
yeah. I think, yeah, being more connected.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Being more connected, having more connections. And that's one thing that's good with what we've got today is obviously, you know, people can follow on social media, people can do courses, they can read books. Like, everyone is more connected today than they ever were. So I remember when I started investing, like, investing into state was like, I did a course in 2000, oh, it would have been like 2008, something like that. It was really early, right? I did a course just on how to invest interstate and what to look for and everything like that. I remember doing all that course and it was just like not a thing. Like, you just don't have 10 properties in all different states. It was like, no, you have it within walking distance. You have it within the suburb, you know, and getting outside of that. So I think the education now is you can be more connected to the person that you want to be and you don't have to physically be there. Like, we're the first time we've met, like, properly, right? We've been Zooming, we've been talking on phones, we've, you know, everything over the phone, right? You've bought properties for us interstate and we've never met physically. Yeah. We couldn't have done that 15, 20 years ago, right? So the results now is like, it's no excuse almost now to say that I'm not around the people. It's like, you don't have to physically be around those people. You can still be mentally around those people. You can still access them via Instagram, you can still access them via, you know, social media and stuff like that as well.
Everyone's so accessible.
Yeah.
We carry around a phone every day. Like.
Yep. 100%. Everyone's accessible. And I guess, what's the proudest moment, all three of you, what's the proudest moment that you've had, I guess, with investing?
I think just the first purchase, really, like, sort of standing at the front. Like, a lot of people invest in crypto and stocks and things, which there's nothing wrong with that. But having something physical and something you can drive past each day and see, no, that's yours.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty special. And yeah, sort of standing at the front, that sold sign, it's
like the start of your journeys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you're on your way.
Yeah, it's that first step. And I think it's definitely something good to look back on and a big accomplishment.
Yeah, awesome.
I think for me, today is a huge milestone.
Yeah.
I think it's a reflection that you can see the value of us. And I think that, obviously, for the listeners, I think it's a huge credit that we're able to sit here. Like, there's, you got to think how many investors are out there. But obviously, yeah, you see value in us. And I think that's a.
Yeah.
That's
and a I huge think your story, like I said, to me, the value that I see in you guys is that I think a lot of people have given up on if I start off not given things, then I won't be able to get there. You know, it's like you're either born into it or you're not. That's where I feel like a lot of people are feeling now, like you can't make it happen on your own. And I think that you guys, you know, your story being that you come together, you all talked about it, you all invested different years, but you all invested over the time and you had the glue, which was all of you talking together, got you results. And I think that's a massive achievement for you guys to do, especially in your 20s. And I think that's a huge thing too. People will be like, oh, you can't do it in your 20s anymore. You can. Like, we've got heaps of clients that have done it in their 20s. Massive results. And the biggest thing is not investing in your own backyard, right? A lot of people in Sydney and Melbourne, they're like, oh, it's too expensive. So they just don't do anything. It's like, well, why aren't you looking at other places? Go to where you can afford. Like your first one, Josh, $387,000, right? You look at your guys, right? $500,000, $550,000. They weren't million-dollar houses, right? You start off where you can start off and you build up. I think that's quite good. And Josh, what's your proudest moment?
I reckon it was saving my first 90 grand because that was all cash.
Yep.
And that will be the hardest 90 grand that I ever save and come across.
And I remember you coming back to us after we said, oh, you need to save a bit more money. And Sophie's like, he did it. He came back. I remember that
it was a proud moment.
It was actually for us even proud, because I think a lot of people be like, yeah, I remember you said, yeah, I'll do that and I'll come back to you. And I'm like, a lot of people say stuff but don't do it, right? Like so many people these days are like, yeah, I'm gonna, right? They're gonna do everything, right? And they do nothing. You stuck to what you said you're gonna do. It took you an extra year pretty much to save that money, but you did it. And instead of taking any shortcuts, you did what needed to be done to be able to get to the result that you are sitting here today, I guess, which is quite cool. I'm proud of all three of you. It's good. It's good to see all of you have done really, really well. Final question, what would you say to anyone wanting to invest? They haven't started. They're scared of investing. What would you say to those people?
Don't be scared. It might be daunting at first, but once you understand the process, educate yourself and take the right advice from the right people, yeah, it definitely makes it a lot more smooth process. And yeah, it's not as scary as it might be. And you'll never look back once you start. You'll just get addicted to it, I reckon. I think we can all say that.
It's hard not to when you see money rolling in.
Absolutely.
I think it's silly if you didn't do it right now. Like it's the time is now, I suppose. If you wait, you're going to miss out.
Yeah. And I think it's more than the monetary value behind it. It's I guess the quality of life you're going to get in your later years,
and quality of life your family's going to get too. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, which is a big thing. Like that was my big driver when I was younger.
That's my big driver too.
Yeah, it was like one day I'll have a family. I used to think to myself, it's one day I'll have a family. It's one day I'll have kids, and that one day will be the day that I don't want to work 5 days a week. I don't want to work 40, 50 hours a week. So if I invest now, when that one day happens, my life is more enjoyable. My kids' life is more enjoyable. I think that's quite a good thing. And you guys have set yourself all up for it, which is good to see. So now it's just time to keep building onto it. I think, you know, we've got a few more properties that we're purchasing in Perth, and then we'll keep building from there. Is there any final words that you guys want to say at all? Or?
I'd just like to say thank you.
Well, thank you for trusting us, I would say. I'd say thank you for everyone. I know that you guys have a lot of other friends and family that have invested with us as well over the years, which, you know, we thank you for seeing the value that we've been able to give you as well. It is good to see, because it's like the reason you do that is because you get the result, right? So if you get the result, you will refer, which is a massive part of our business.
Yeah. You know? And you want to see your friends succeed as well.
100%. So. Yeah, 100%. As I said, like I tell people, if you're looking to jump in, start with education, get your own mindset right, then jump in and start investing. Because the one thing that is hard is jumping into investing with the wrong mindset and jumping into investing not truly understanding it, because you can make mistakes even if somebody that has the knowledge is helping you, because you can't see what's in front of you. I think that's one of the big things. You know, if you can see for yourself what is a good opportunity and you can overcome your own fears of investing and building wealth, then you are the only person that can get in your way, right? Yeah, so if you can remove yourself from that person getting in the way, then what else stops you? Nothing.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So, well, guys, thank you for coming on the YPLW podcast.
Thanks for having us.
It was awesome to have all of you here. Should have had Jack here as well, but couldn't come in. So yeah.
He'll be listening to it, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah. There's a few mentions in there. So thank you for all coming in, sharing your story. It was really, you know, awesome to see. And I hope a lot of our listeners get a lot of value out of your story and where you guys have come from and where you guys are now and where you're heading.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks,
guys. Lately, I've been low to losing all control.
Well, there you have it, guys. It's another great show, and it's awesome to have our YPYW guests here, Joel, Josh, and Riley, to show their journey of property investing and how you can still do it in your 20s. They've created immense wealth. I think we've covered around how they were able to create this wealth by having each other to bounce off each other. And as I've always said, you know, you're the average of your closest friends around you. So whoever you have around you is who you become. It becomes your identity, your thermostat. And here is a true success story about these young guys creating a huge success by working with each other, helping each other, and they've been able to create massive portfolios now and into the future as well. Now, if you're wanting to learn the secrets of how to create your dream life and retire younger and richer, then you need to join our YPYW Mastery community. Learn the easy way to build real compounding wealth through smart, strategic wealth strategies that the wealthy use without the hype and or smoke and mirrors. Now, our YPYW Mastery courses help educate you to invest the right way, change your beliefs, and crush your fears of investing to become masters of your own wealth. We've had hundreds of mastery students change their lives every single day, so make sure you join the YPYW Mastery family. To find out more about the courses, go to our ypywmastery.com.au to enroll today. Now, if you are already building or already on your property investing journey, or you are considering it, then YPYW specializes in building high performance property portfolios backed by our in-house research. We have helped clients create portfolios worth over $5 million, helping them exit the rat race and create financial freedom. So visit ypyw.com.au. Also, make sure that you don't forget to grab the book, Six Principles to Retire Younger and Richer. That book is in all bookstores across Australia or Amazon. So make sure you jump on the book, make sure you jump on the YPYW Mastery community, and then let us help you build wealth through our buyer's agency. Now, if you've got a message or some feedback for the show, you can reach me on Instagram at Your Property or Wealth, or you can send me an email at any time. Just visit ypyw.com.au. Well, that wraps it up for today's show. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to speaking with you next time on the YPYW podcast. Bye for now.